I want to ask you a question so you can think about it for a minute, and then we'll come back to this, and I do want to hear from you. As you think back on your childhood, what's one specific door that you remember? Doesn't have to have a profound story with it necessarily, just when you think of your childhood, what doorway comes to mind, okay? You think about that in a minute, and I'll tell you about one of mine. My grandma Lila's house was magical. It was full of treasures, full of all sorts of interesting things to see and play with. There was in the backyard this sturdy, big sycamore tree with the branches were just perfectly spaced for climbing. There was in her back bedroom this loom, a big antique weaving loom. I have no idea why it was there or who used it or where she got it. We pushed the thing on the loom a few times to see how it worked. It seemed very complicated to us back then, so we sort of left it alone. I have no idea what happened to it, where it went, but if I had to do over again, I would, you know, ask for that loom as my piece of my grandma's inheritance. I would keep it, and I would force my children to wear the sweaters that I would weave on that old loom. She had an accordion. Anybody play the accordion? It's harder than it looks to make noise with that thing. So we always got the accordion out. There was a silver trombone that belonged to my grandfather. She kept it under the bed in the front bedroom, I think hoping each time we came over that we would forget where the trombone was, but we never did. We always got it out and we played that thing. And I'm sure it was special to her because my grandfather was a very musical person. He was an accomplished trombonist. We got it out, played it as loudly as we could, and she just smiled, never complained until we got done. She would put it away. But the most fun place to play at my grandmother's house was down in the basement. And I remember the door that led down into my grandmother's basement. That's my memory. So if you entered her house, it wasn't a very big house, but you went through the small front room, then you went back through a doorway, through an even smaller kitchen, and there was always a dishwasher out in the middle of the kitchen hooked by a hose to the sink, right? So you had to squeeze past that to get around to where you found the door down into the basement. It was a typical basement in many ways. It was a little dark, cement floors, shelves full of who knows what. But here's one of the reasons I loved it so much. There was a full-size basketball goal nailed to a post in the basement. Now keep in mind, the ceiling was low. The whole ceiling was maybe 7 foot high. So this full-size basketball goal, not a Nerf goal, not the thing you hang over the top of a door, a full-size basketball goal with a real rim and everything, hung about 5 feet off the ground. So even as a little kid, you know, we could all dunk, which made it lots of fun. I can still dunk, but I mean anyway. In the far corner of the basement, there was a screen door that led into a little shop area where there was tools and there was paint, and nails. That's where we could make things. And I oddly remember my grandmother teaching us all how to make lye soap. I have no idea what lye soap is or why anyone would be making it, but we did. The best thing about that basement is that we were usually unsupervised. It was a place for us kids to play away from the eyes and the rules of all the adults. That's what made it so glorious. So that's my door, the door down into my grandmother's basement. Can I hear from some of you what door came to mind when you thought about doors from your childhood? You don't have to give the whole story with it. Just what was the door and where was it? Attic door. Mert, what were you going to say? Front door because we didn't use it. Okay, Ed.
The front door of my grandparents on 94 South Nashville, leading out the front porch. I love the front porch. It was always so peaceful. You could see everything that went on in the neighborhood.
Front door, front porch, grandparents' house. Good. What else?
Yeah, house kitchen door.
Over here first.
Grandma's kitchen door.
Grandma, we got lots of grandparents here today. I guess we were kids, right? Who over here?
Yeah.
The outhouse door. You want to tell stories about that or share more, Leah?
Well, at one point in time, there was no encyclopedia, so the outhouse was a field. And so if the kids were playing in the outhouse, they would have to go try to sneak in there to do your thing. That would be hot. If you're locked in the room.
Try to sneak into the outhouse to do your thing before other people find. Leah, just between me and you, I go to the bathroom 2 or 3 times a night, so I am so glad for plumbing. I would not even want to be going out to the outhouse. Okay, outhouse door. Was not expecting that one. Other doors that you remember? Okay, Michelle's mentioning if you couldn't hear, an outhouse door that was a screen door. So you could see the beautiful wildlife of Alaska. Okay, wow, I did not see where this was going. This is great. This is the danger when you ask questions. Balcony, come on. Your balcony's always got to be good for one answer. A door from the balcony. Anybody? Oh, my Lord. That's enough, Andrew. Andrew said, what was the question? Moving along. That was exactly the answer I expected from the balcony, by the way, Andrew. Thank you very much. Sorry to interrupt the phone time up there for everybody. C.S. Lewis was a professor of classics and medieval literature at Oxford University, but in addition to his academic or scholarly work, he wrote a series of books called The Chronicles of Narnia. So in these books, the first book in The Chronicles of Narnia is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. In these books, there are 4 children, Peter, Susan, Edmund, and Lucy. These 4 begin a great adventure when they discover a doorway into a magical land called Narnia. How many of you have read at least one of the books in this Chronicles of Narnia series? Okay, some of you. They're children's books, but they're great for adults to read anyway, or adults to read with kids. So the children, because of the bombing raids in London, they spend the weekend in a huge country house, and out of boredom, they decide to play hide-and-seek. Looking for a place to hide, the youngest of the siblings, Lucy, discovers a beautiful wardrobe full of coats. The coats were our meager attempt to theatrically, convey that sense of entering into a new world. Balcony, sorry, we didn't put up a wardrobe going upstairs. Nothing. I was going to say something mean-spirited, but I'm not going to. So Lucy discovers this wardrobe. She steps in and begins to back her way through all the fur coats so she can hide from her brother. The wardrobe proves much deeper than she expected. So she keeps moving back further and further until her hand touches what feels like the branch of a tree. She feels the crunch of snow under her feet, and she turns to discover a whole new world. There in that magical world, she meets a faun, which is a creature which is half goat, half human. Keep in mind, C.S. Lewis is a professor of classics and medieval literature, so he loves these classical creatures. She meets a witch, and she meets lots of other creatures, including lots of talking animals, including the majestic, breathtaking, talking lion who goes by the name of Aslan. Eventually, Lucy makes her way back through the wardrobe into the country house to tell all of her siblings about what she found. Come and see, she invites them. Come and see. It's a magical wardrobe. There's a forest inside it, and it's snowing. And there's a faun and a witch, and it's called Narnia. Come and see. Friends, here is our invitation to move through our own doorway into the holy season of Advent. Here is our invitation to leave behind what we know so that we can experience something surprising. Here's our invitation to suspend our very adult assumption that the world is predictable and boring for a childlike sense of wonder and discovery. During the season of Advent, we prepare for Christmas. We do our best to prepare for the life-shaping reality that the birth of Jesus to Joseph and Mary was, in fact, the fulfillment of God's promises to be good to all the world. The arrival of the Son of God in the vulnerable life of a child born to poor refugee parents was God's way of keeping faith with promises to come and right all that's wrong with the world. And the real question for us as we enter the Advent season is not, let me repeat, the real question is not whether we believe all the right things about the story, as if the point is to check off, I believe this or that or the other. The real question is whether we're capable of being overwhelmed with awe. The question is whether we're capable of opening ourselves to a new imaginative world. C.S. Lewis writes a story about a magical land called Narnia because he wants to remind children and adults alike that meeting the God who meets us in Jesus the Christ is very much like wandering into a new and strange and different world. Joseph and Mary were observant Jews. Jesus was a Jewish baby. He was born among Jewish people who treasured a hope in God that was fed by memories that were shared from generation to generation. And some of those memories involved Israel's journey from slavery to freedom, a journey that involved many crossings into new worlds. When God delivered them from Egypt, they crossed through the Red Sea on dry ground. When God brought them at long last to their new land, they crossed through the River Jordan, again, on dry ground. Perhaps Jesus had these old Jewish stories in mind when he teaches us about trying to imagine him as a gate or a door through which we as his sheep move back and forth for pasture and water and safety. Perhaps Jesus had these stories in mind when he teaches us about narrow doors. Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able. Sometimes that verse is talked about in a way that's supposed to make it scary, and I suppose maybe it is a bit, but I also find it quite a funny picture. Lots of people trying to get through a door, but they can't. So how do you imagine that? Are we to imagine large crowds of people trying to fit through a small doorway, like huge crowds trying to get into Walmart on Black Friday? Or are we to imagine people one at a time trying but somehow failing to get through a narrow door? Is it that they don't fit? Is it that they can't figure out how to open it, get through it? I'm not sure. But I think Jesus used this image of the narrow door to remind us that getting through the doorway into a new world requires only one thing: that you're small enough. That you're small enough. Children will get through the door just fine. They tend to have no problem imagining something strange and different. But for those of us who are adults, getting through the door is a little harder. It's harder because many of us are out of practice when it comes to important things like laughter, joy, surprise, and curiosity. To get through the narrow door, you have to be capable of wild-eyed wonder in what you find on the other side. I'll conclude this morning by drawing your attention to several quotations, which are actually on the back side of your bulletin. These come from a book by Rowan Williams. He is a poet, a writer, a theologian, served as the Archbishop of Canterbury. The wardrobe that young Lucy finds at the beginning of the Narnia stories is, quote, the image that will recur. It happens again at the end of the stories. We go through a door into a reality that's bigger than the one we left behind. The magic world, the new world, the dreamlike world, is more real than the one you left. The journey to this true homeland is not a journey away from the world as we know it, but one into its heart. Once we've left behind our self-centered perspective, what is opened out to us is a fuller, not a smaller field of enjoyment. The world itself becomes more intense in its impact, and we sense, literally sense, dimensions to the world that we should otherwise never have encountered. C.S. Lewis is determined to turn on its head the common assumption that faith is one of those things that the intelligent human will simply grow out of. On the contrary, we shall be constantly growing into it without end. The reader is brought to Narnia for a little while in order to know Aslan the lion better in this world. The goal is to make sure that the doors between the worlds are in reasonably good order so that we may share that slowly flowering awareness of something constantly discovered and rediscovered and always new. My prayer for all of us is that this holy season of Advent will be a time of growth, discovery, and change. So may every door we walk through this week be a reminder that God has invited us into a strange world of good news. Good news for us, for our neighbors, for our enemies, for the animals, and for the whole earth. May every door we walk through remind us that the long-awaited child born to Mary and to Joseph is our passageway into seeing the world with fresh eyes, full of childlike wonder. Amen.